Hello, everyone. A quick announcement before I take your questions. President Bush will welcome Portuguese Prime Minister José Sócrates to the White House on September 17, 2007, in the Prime Minister's dual role as Prime Minister and head of the European Union presidency. President Bush looks forward to discussing a broad range of issues of shared interest, including Afghanistan, the Middle East, transatlantic relations, advancing peace and security in Afghanistan and the Middle East, ending genocide in Darfur, enhancing cooperation on international trade, counterterrorism, energy security, and climate change. The President welcomes the opportunity to discuss with the Prime Minister ways to build on our strong relations with the European Union under Portuguese leadership. Questions?
Is the administration trying to get GAO to revise some of their assessments in their Iraq report?
No, at this point, I don't think you talk about revising assessments in the fact you've got a draft report that's been making its way around. The Pentagon has suggested that there are some factual, that believes it has some compelling facts that may bear on some of the conclusions that have been drawn, but it's my understanding that a typical, I'll refer you back to the Pentagon on that, but the fact is that these are reports that get circulated around for comment, and apparently there were some comments. I talked to Jeff Morrell about it. I know he made some comments to the Pentagon press corps today. But, you know, they'll have to, obviously there are going to be people providing some factual input and some input into the report.
And the administration or the White House is not very enthusiastic about this report. Is that correct?
No, I think what we suggested is, number one, that the standard that is set by the legislation is to assess whether a benchmark has been met. Well, look, it's no secret that many of the benchmarks have not been met. What is significant is that there's progress toward a great number of them. Again, you're asking me at this point to make detailed comment on a draft report. I'm not going to do it. Let's wait and see what GAO has to report. It clearly has been leaked by some people who want to get some of the early thinking out, but we'll get a report next Tuesday, I think, and we'll be able
to assume that the administration has an interest in making it appear better than the negative way in which it seems in the draft?
No, I think the administration's interest is making sure that we get a full picture of what's going on in Iraq. And frankly, the people who are going to be best able to do that are the folks who live and work there every day, and that would be General Petraeus and Ambassador Crocker. There are a number of reports coming out. We have the NIE, obviously. There's the Jones Commission report. So there are a lot of reports. It's a season of reports. But we are certainly looking forward to hearing from the general who's in charge of overall operations and the ambassador who works there every day. The folks who have a real grasp of ground truth, all of these reports obviously are interesting.
Democrats are saying that this GAO report basically shows that President Bush's Iraq strategy is not working. How do you respond to that? Why should they not view it that way?
Well, number one, they ought to talk to the Democrats who have just come back from Iraq who said just the opposite. I mean, you've had Senator Durbin, Senator Levin. You had a number of key Democrats who have come back and talked about Senator Biden even, suggesting that there have been, in fact, significant changes under the surge and there have been significant progress. Again, I would, if you take a look at what Congress has mandated for this report, it says, have you met these? Have you met them in full? Well, the answer is you're going to find a lot of cases. Of course they haven't met them. Now, the real question is, do you have progress in the right direction? The other thing I would suggest is that it would be a mistake to limit one's view of what goes on in Iraq to the benchmarks. For instance, among the benchmarks are not the fact that Sunni Iraqis have, in fact, turned against al-Qaeda and have really opened up a front against al-Qaeda that is of enormous significance and also creates a possibility of greater political reconciliation in the long run as well. So what you're going to see from Ambassador Crocker and from General Petraeus is a view of what's going on in Iraq that's broader simply than the benchmarks. And I think if you take a look even at the original report on the benchmarks, some of those that were laid out originally, and I don't have them all in my head right now, but you go back and read the July report, some of them are not even appropriate right now. I mean, there's a critique of some of the benchmarks themselves. The real question that people have is, what's going on in Iraq? Are we making progress? Militarily, is the surge having an impact? The answer is yes. There's no question about it. what you've had is the number of ethnic and religious sectarian killings down by 75%. You have a doubling of weapons cache seizures. You have a reduction in bombing violence and bombing killings of U.S. and coalition forces. There have been a number of, you have kills and captures way up when it comes to those who have been fighting against the government. Obviously, there's a whole lot that still needs to be done. But on the other hand, again, there's been significant progress on a number of fronts.
Sorry, where do you get that information that sectarian violence, you said, is down 75%?
Well, that was General Petraeus has said that a 75% reduction in religious and ethnic killing since last year.
Okay. The GAO found no difference in overall violence.
Well, again, I'm going to wait to see the report. You know, everybody's speaking knowledgeably of a draft report. The other thing is how one measures overall violence. It'll be interesting to see what that metric is. General Petraeus clearly has a different view of that. I would defer to him on this.
A couple of days ago, the Washington Post reported that, you mentioned the NIE. They reported that when the NIE went around in draft form, General Petraeus saw it and didn't like some of the findings and succeeded in basically watering down what the spy agencies had come up with. What's the process like? Are you tinkering with these reports?
No. Number one, you are saying that it's tinkering with the report when the man who's on the ground, who has the most direct experience, is in fact having factual input?
But
no, this is...
They talked to him for factual input earlier in the process. I'm talking about the end of the process.
No,
do you think your 16 spy agencies did this report without...
16 spy agencies? You're talking about intelligence agencies.
Intelligence agencies.
Do
you think that they did not reach out to General Petraeus and other commanders earlier in the process? Are you saying that they just made it up on their own?
Are you saying that General Petraeus was trying to doctor the report?
Well, the Washington Post report suggested that, saying, quote, he succeeded in having the security judgment softened to reflect improvements in recent months.
Well, I think that's, but that is somebody having factual input into a report, Ed.
Is it true you're not going to ask for any more money for this war?
No.
What is the president going to ask for?
Well, he's going to wait until you get a report from the generals about what they think they need.
$50 billion is...
No, we're not. Look, it is premature to be talking figures at this juncture. Last year, we came up with an emergency supplemental, which we thought was going to be our best estimate. You continually revise those estimates based on the realities on the ground and the requirements of the forces, and we'll wait to hear what the generals on the ground have to say about it at this juncture. I think you may recall last year, for instance, there was a whole lot of speculation within a wide range of possible figures that might be put forward in a supplemental. Let's just wait until the president has had an opportunity to hear from the people responsible.
What more money is needed?
I don't know.
Are you worried that there's going to be an increase in attacks during September in an attempt to influence?
It has always been a concern. And, I mean, the generals have made that clear for a long time, and it certainly is a concern. We hope it doesn't happen, but certainly people are aware that there's going to be an attempt to try to influence the domestic debate here in the United States, and using acts of violence is one of the means.
Have you seen any evidence that that's been going on during the summer?
I'm not the person to ask about that.
Topic change. As the head of the party, is the president concerned that the events surrounding Senator Craig are harmful to Republicans?
I don't think the president's drawing any global judgment on Republicans. What we've said is that the story is certainly a disappointment, and it's something that the Senate Ethics Committee is going to be handling.
Do you believe you should resign?
We're not commenting beyond what I've said.
Back to Iraq, you said that this is a season of reports. Does the president give all these reports equal weight, or does he believe that the Petraeus-Crocker report is the most important?
I think the president takes a look at all the reports that come across, but obviously if you're going to take a look at who is most credible to speak about it, the people who are there full-time are the ones whose judgment you are going to take very seriously. But on the other hand, you're going to take a look at all the inputs.
He's about to go to Australia. How will he get briefed by Petraeus and Crocker prior to their testimony? Can you just give us sort of a lay of the land?
No, I really can't. I'll try to put together the process TikTok, but I don't know.
Tony, you said the GAO is obviously a draft report, but they set out to assess whether these benchmarks have been met or not.
Sure.
Are you asserting that that is too tough a standard?
I'm just saying if you're trying to do an overall judgment on what's going on in Iraq, the idea that somehow your standard is everything completed or nothing completed seems to me to be a pretty high pretty high standard to meet. On the other hand, if you're trying to figure out, are you making progress toward the goals that you have set out? That's probably the proper way to look at it. This it appears to be a metric. And by the way, the GAO didn't set forth this. Members of Congress did. Said, have you met the benchmarks? There are going to be a number of areas where they have not met the benchmarks, but in fact there is significant progress, and that deserves to be noted as well, not only in terms of the context of the public debate, but in terms of responsibly assessing what has gone on with the surge and, furthermore, what needs to go on to have success in Iraq.
You talked about Iran meddling inside Iraq. The president's mentioned it many times. Yeah. Iraq's foreign minister today criticized Iran for literally bombarding the Kurdish areas in the north with artillery shells. Do you have any response to that?
No, no, other than we have made it clear all along that Iran is going to that the Iranians have said that they want to play a constructive role. Well, the way you do that is to be serious about trying to guarantee security within Iraq, and that means certainly not transporting weapons in, not bringing people in who are going to be fighting against the government, not committing acts of violence against that government, but instead trying to support the safety and security of those who work in the government and not to be supporting those who, in fact, are trying to bring it down.
Shelling in the north.
Again, I'm not going to try to. That is something, Brett, that you can bring back to your old pals over at the Pentagon. They're going to be a lot. They're going to give you a much more sage analysis of that than I am.
Two questions. First, we are again celebrating India thanks to Times of India. Question I have is, as far as Pakistan is concerned, former Prime Minister Bhutto has agreed that General Musharraf will take off his military uniform. You think this political marriage will work, or President is aware of this?
Well, number one, I think there are a lot of stories coming out of Pakistan. We will let the Pakistanis break their own news on this. Secondly, what we've said all along is what Pakistan needs is a transparent election. We have a free and fair election conducted under transparent circumstances.
Second, as far as Osama bin Laden is concerned, yesterday, Mr. J.J. Green of the WQB.
Well, change of topic. I'm sorry. Bin Laden,
J.J. Green of the WQB said that he was quoting a newspaper in Pakistan that Osama bin Laden was dead in 2005 because of kidney failures. But recent report was saying that Osama bin Laden is well and alive in Pakistan. Where do we stand on his well-being or death?
Look, I'm not going to tell you what we know or don't know about bin Laden, but I thank you for passing on what occurred on WTOP yesterday.
Is bin Laden on dialysis?
I don't know. For the record, I am not.
On a subject that Kelly had, on Senator Craig, this administration in the last couple of weeks has embraced the idea of allowing controversial figures in this administration to walk, to leave, to resign. What about
what?
The president accepted what? The president accepted Karl Rove's resignation. He accepted Gonzalez's resignation.
Well,
now, wait a minute, because of controversies. But let me ask you this. Do you think that this administration is viewing behind the walls that Craig should leave because it is not a good idea?
Number one, I'm not going to make any further comment beyond what I have about Senator Craig's predicament. Number two, I'm not letting you get away with the quote, accepting Karl Rove because he's controversial. Karl is somebody who spent 14 years working for the president, and I think it is somebody who will continue to work for the president, speak out. Alberto Gonzalez is somebody who was the object of a concerted series of personal attacks from Capitol Hill that yielded nothing in terms of in fact, evidence of any wrongdoing on his behalf. And therefore, what I would suggest is rather than treating them as, quote, controversial figures, these guys had mud slung at them. What they ended up doing is that they have tendered their resignations, but these are people who have served very long and very well and have spent a lot of time in public service and deserve thanks for it.
Republicans were also asking for them to step down. Now, Larry Craig, Republicans are asking for Mr. Craig to step down.
Again,
do you think he's
hurtful
to the Republicans in 2008?
Nice try. I'm not going beyond where I've...
On Senator Warner's comments a week ago, did the White House consider those comments to be a break with the White House on the direction forward in Iraq?
Uh, you know, the Senator Warner is somebody whose views obviously we take seriously. I'm not going to get into characterizing whether there are breaks or not breaks. I think Senator Warner has made it clear that he'd like to see success in Iraq, and so would we.
About withdrawing or beginning to withdraw troops this September.
I understand. Our position on this is that let's hear what the generals have to say. What we do have is a situation in which you have real, I think, two things. Number one, it is clear that the surge is producing significant results. And that does not seem to be an object of controversy, really, a significant controversy anymore. Number two, Senator Warner believed that somehow withdrawing troops or withdrawing a brigade might have some impact on the political situation. It's pretty clear that the Iraqis have been working the political situation themselves. We had the meeting with the Prime Minister and members of the Presidency Council, and we're going to have to see what happens. The President certainly welcomed that meeting and welcomed their determination to work on a lot of the key issues. And we're going to have to see what happens when the Parliament reconvenes in a couple of weeks.
Pretty clear that he was disagreeing with the White House, and it doesn't.
Well, again, I'll let you draw whatever conclusions you may on that.
Back to Larry Craig. Is his predicament, as you call it, hurting Republicans?
Thank you for the question. I've already given my answer.
Yes, I did.
I gave the answer I'm going to give.
Your tolerance level seems to be slipping.
Really? Am I getting cranky like you? Wow. Well,
Governor Mitt Romney is quoted as describing Senator Larry Craig's behavior as, quote, disgusting. Does the head of the Republican Party want you to suggest that he disagrees?
No, I'm suggesting that we've said that this is disappointing and it needs to be handled by the Senate Ethics Committee.
Okay. Reuters reports from Harvard that Fidel Castro has just described Senators Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama as, quote, an apparently unbeatable ticket. But the Reuters report did not mention either of these two U.S. senators repudiating this endorsement. And my question, does the leader of the Republican Party believe that Clinton and Obama should repudiate this dictator's endorsement or not?
I think it is safe to say that Fidel Castro is not an expert on the workings of an active democracy.
Tony, since you are in a good mood, I'm
hoping to meet. Not going to plan on that.
Give me a serious answer on official motorcades, which I've spoken to you about earlier. Now, in the wake of this second tragic death of a motorcycle policeman, and in the wake of actually an incident that happened last week to me and to lots of others in Rock Creek Park when we were nearly wiped out by Cheney's motorcades, which are the biggest, the fastest, the most aggressive I've ever seen in 40 years. Why in this day and age are official motorcades necessary? Can't they avoid narrow and winding roads where you can't get to the side like Rock Creek? And thirdly, why do they have to be so fast and so huge?
Connie, I would refer all those comments to people do protective details, but I think in this day and age, protective motorcade is, in fact, a necessity.
Even faster, they have to be.
I'm not competent to comment on that. I mean, again, I would refer you to talk to the Protective Service.
Can you tell us about when the White House was notified or what the President knows about the nerve gas that was found in the U.S.?
I don't know about the President's notification. Here's what we do know. Last Friday, UNMOVIC staff members discovered in metal and glass containers within a plastic package what turned out to be chemical agents that were brought over as a result of UN weapons inspections during the UNMOVIC era. These items should not have ended up, obviously, at the New York offices. Normally, they would be transported to an appropriately equipped laboratory for analysis. I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of red-faced people over at the UN trying to just figure out how they got there. In any event, they've done some testing of the air. There's no danger to the folks involved. The agents had been at the UNMOVIC facility for more than a decade for other analysis of this in more detail. Refer you to the FBI.
What about notification? Because there are some reports suggesting initially that it was only today that the New York Fire Department and Police Department found out that this was even going on,
again,
even though they found it on Friday.
Again, I'd refer you to the FBI because I don't know.
Thank you. Okay.
I pointed to Paula. Paula gets the last question, then. Sorry. In fairness.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
I have a question on the S-CHIP program.
Okay.
Well, while Congress was out, the administration put out new requirements for states, and one of those requirements would require parents who were privately insured to be without insurance for 1 year before they can enroll their children in the S-CHIP program. And I just wondered, where are families going to get insurance?
Well, it's a very good question for which, when you want to ask a really detailed question like that, give me some advance warning. I'll get you an answer.
This morning.
Okay, well, I'm afraid I wasn't here this morning. I will get you an answer.
Okay.